Well, there's something I know about every single one of you. What I know about every single one of you is that you are bold about something. Every single one of you. Some of you, you're bold about your kids because, objectively speaking, you have the most amazing kids in the history of the world. You're bold about your kids. Some of you, you're bold about your favorite team. Embarrassingly bold about your favorite team. So much so, you tell yourself, this is the year your team's going to do it. Some of you are bold about your workout plans because it changed your life. Many of you, you're bold about your politics because you're right and everybody else is wrong. Some of you, you're just bold about coffee and you know the only way it should be made. We don't have to talk to be bold. We already know how to be bold. Why? Because we're bold about what we value. We speak up about what matters to us. We defend the things that we love. So today, I'm not going to ask you if you're bold because you actually are bold. What I'm going to ask you is, what are you bold about? And for those of you that are Christians, and what I don't mean is like you were born in the United States of America and you're not Muslim. So you're Christian. I'm not going to ask about that. I'm talking about that your sins have been forgiven, that you've been filled with the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that you know that you're an ambassador in this world, that you're called to be light, that you're called to go into all the world to make disciples, preach in the name of Jesus. I'm talking to you. If those of you who would say, yes, I have been changed by Jesus, I know I am His, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I'm going to ask you, for those of you that know you're Christians, are you bold about your faith in Jesus? Are you bold about your faith in Jesus? Because if your life has truly been changed by Jesus, you don't have to be pushed to talk about Him. You actually want to talk about Him. We're in a message series, a church that pleases God. And a church that pleases God is made up of people that are pleasing God. And one of the qualities that we're going to find that is actually pleasing to God are people that are bold about their faith in Jesus. Jesus even said that if you boldly confess me before people, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you're ashamed of me, if you're not bold about me, if you don't tell others about me, Jesus said, I'm not going to confess you before my Father. And when you look at the first century Christians, the first century church in the book of Acts, the very first followers of Jesus, what you're going to see is that boldness isn't a side theme in the book of Acts. Boldness is the defining mark of the first century church and one of the marks of a church that pleases God. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you just a very, very brief overview, and then we're going to dive into some specific verses in the book of Acts. But I'm going to show you in Acts chapter 1. We see this. God promises to send the Holy Spirit in power, unleashing an unshakable boldness to spread the gospel of Jesus. Then in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit unites believers into a church boldly devoted to God's word, to God's people, and to God's mission. Then in Acts chapter 4, under threats of severe persecution, the church prays and asks God for boldness, and God fills them with power and releases radical generosity through the body of Christ. Acts chapter 5, the believers choose obedience over safety, and the disciples preach Christ boldly in the face of suffering and persecution. Then in Acts 17, Paul boldly preaches Jesus in hostile cultures, reasoning publicly without compromising the gospel. Then the last chapter of the book of Acts, Acts 28, and the very last verse of the last chapter of the book of Acts, you see that even in chains, Paul proclaims the gospel with boldness and without hindrance. From Acts chapter 1 to Acts 28, the church is made up of spirit-built, filled believers marked with a boldness for the bold love of a Savior who died so we could be made new. And it kind of raises the question when you think about it. In spite of all the opposition, those first century Christians face all the threat, all the pain they endured, all the persecution. Why did they continue to risk their lives boldly for the sake of the gospel? And the answer is because boldness isn't what the church does when it feels strong. It's what the church does when it knows Jesus. It's not something that we work up whenever we think, oh my gosh, I've got to be bold for him. It's bold out of a living relationship with the risen Christ that moves us out of our comfort zone into a self-sacrificing boldness to help others know who he is and what it means to know him. And so if you're going to be a church that pleases God, we're going to be made up of people that are pleasing God. And what are the qualities of people that are pleasing God? Those who are bold, sharing a reflection of God's love for us through us to help others know the grace and life they can have in Christ. So how do we do that? Like, how do we do it individually? When you go to school, when you go to work, in your family, that may not believe in Jesus, then how do we do it corporately when we come together as the church to show the love of Jesus in the world? We're going to look at the book of Acts, and we're going to start in Acts chapter 4, and we're going to look at one of the most powerful stories to give you the context. There's two guys named Peter and John. And these guys weren't the most educated people. They were fishermen that had kind of ordinary jobs. And they had prayed, and God healed a man that had been crippled from birth. And so they're out there telling everybody, hey, Jesus did this, and this by the power of God. And what they did was they were kind of poking at the religious leaders because they said it was the same guy that you crucified, Jesus, that God raised from the dead. He's the one who did this. Now, whenever they said that God raised him from the dead, that was considered heresy to the Sadducees. So they were kind of poking at them. And they were saying, you killed him, but God raised him. You killed him, But God raised him, and they were so bold saying this before the leaders who had the power to take their lives that the leaders were astonished. And so the religious leaders arrested Peter and John, and they were standing before the same council that crucified Jesus. And these ordinary fishermen spoke with so much confidence and so much courage and so much passion and so much boldness that the leaders were stunned. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 tells us this. The members of the council were amazed. They're taken aback when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. They weren't amazed with their education. They weren't amazed with their oratory skills. They weren't amazed with the fly look that they had in the brand of shoes they were wearing. They were amazed at the boldness, for they could see that these two guys, Peter and John, were ordinary men with no special training in Scripture. How'd they do this? How are these ordinary guys with no training so bold and so confident? They were amazed by their boldness. When was the last time someone looked on? I was amazed by how bold you were for Jesus. If you're not a committed follower of Jesus, you get a pass on this question. So, no pressure. For those of you that are Christians, and this is not to shame you, it's not to guilt you, it's just to get you to reflect. I would ask you this question on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest, 10, of course, being the highest. How bold are you about your faith in Jesus? If you're a Christian, how bold? To make it easier for you, I'm going to say that you're not a 1. We're going to say 1 is the devil and 10 is Jesus. You're not the devil and you're not Jesus. So we'll make it a little bit easier for you. Let's start on the high end. If you're like an 8 or a 9, You're not at church by yourself because you brought 2 or 3 people with you. Because you're always inviting people. And you probably shared your faith with multiple people this week. You're praying for lots of people who need Jesus. You may have led someone to Christ yesterday. Because why? You're bold in your faith. You're an 8 or a 9. You might be in the middle, and that's you. You'll bring someone to church with you once every 3 or 4 months, and you are praying for someone right now. And people at work would say, oh yeah, she's probably a Christian. In your fraternity, oh yeah. We know he's a Christian guy. Or maybe you're on the low end of the scale where you really do believe in Jesus. But the people at work might say, oh my gosh, I've worked with you for 7 years and I didn't know you're a Christian. I'm a Christian too. And it's not that you don't love Jesus, it's just that they don't know about it. You probably haven't brought anyone to church. You probably haven't led anyone to Christ. You probably haven't shared your faith. For you, being a witness is just living a life that's a pretty good life. And you'd be a little bit lower on the scale. Again, not to shame you, but just to think about it on a scale of 1 to 10. Where would you put yourself? The religious leaders, They said, these guys, they're like a 9. We're shocked by it. And what some of you are going to think is kind of what I would think too, which is, well, I'm more introverted and I'm more reserved. I've got people that are loud. You know, you've all got that friend. In fact, if you're an introvert, you're probably married to the annoying, loud person because that's how it tends to work. And I'm not that person. I'm not naturally bold. And what I want to remind you is that boldness isn't a personality trait. It's the overflow of a real relationship with Jesus. And you can see it in God's word. The leaders, they're amazed at Peter and John's boldness because they were ordinary people. The word in the Greek translated as ordinary is the word adiota means ordinary. Adiota, what it means ordinary, untrained, with no credentials, no religious status, and outside of the traditional system. They were amazed because these guys were idiotas. In other words, they were very ordinary, nothing special that stood out, no training, which is really good news, to say it politely. God uses ordinary people. And if you think more like I do, you're asking yourself, I wonder what English word comes from the word idiota. And if you ask yourself that and you think it's the word idiot, you're exactly right. God is using a bunch of ordinary idiots, which is great news for people like me, because you don't have to always be the one they expect. God uses ordinary people. And in the Greek, the word of God said they were amazed because they were just ordinary idiots. They're looking on, they're going, where did the boldness come from? How did these guys get so bold? And the last part of the verse shows us the religious leaders were amazed by their boldness. And Scripture says they were astonished. And they took note that why were these guys bold? They took note that these men had been with Jesus. You see, boldness isn't a personality trait. It's a reflection. It's a reflection of time with Jesus. And if you find yourself on the lower end of the scale, maybe like you're a 2 or a 3, and you realize you're not that bold, chances are, not in everyone's case, but in many cases, it's a reflection of how much time you're spending with Jesus. Because there's a couple of cycles that tend to happen. And I'll show you both of them. The first one is, whenever you spend more time with Jesus, you're in His Word and you're praying, and worship isn't just what you do on Sunday, but it's a part of your life. Your life is worship, and you're being directed by the Spirit of God. Whenever you spend more time with Jesus, your boldness increases because you feel a sense of spiritual urgency and you want to make a difference. And when your boldness increases, what happens is your spiritual impact intensifies, because like you're serving in church and you're seeing God use you in the lives of people. And you're praying for people at work. And then someone asks you a question and you actually share your faith with them. And your boldness, your spiritual impact intensifies. And so then your spiritual hunger grows because you're making a difference. And you spent time with Jesus. And now you want more time with Jesus. And the cycle continues. And you continue to grow in boldness. When you spend time with Jesus, your passion grows. And your impact grows. And therefore your hunger grows. And you spend more time with, and your boldness continues to make a difference. And then sometimes you actually get distracted. And instead of more time with Jesus, you spend less time with Jesus. Because life gets busy, right? And you skip your Bible time one day. And then you skip it another day. And your prayer life kind of falters. And you don't make it to church because of the game. And the next week you don't make it to church because it's too hot. And the next week you don't make it to church because it's too cold. And you're not serving anywhere. And you haven't really shared your faith. And because you spent less time with Jesus, you're just not as bold because it's not front of mind. You've got your mind on other things. You're paying the bills. You're trying to keep your yard up. You're trying to keep your kids going and get them everywhere. And when your boldness decreases, your spiritual impact diminishes. I mean, you're not serving in church, and you're not serving in the community, and you haven't shared your faith in the community. And when your spiritual impact diminishes, then you just drift from Jesus. And it's not that you don't love him. It's just you haven't spent a lot of time with him. You just got busy. You got distracted. And when you drift from Jesus, your boldness decreases. And you find yourself in a negative cycle. The key is time in his presence. It's not that we're reading his word to make ourselves smarter, so we can win the Bible drill. When they say, can you find the book of Obadiah? You know, no, it's more like I actually need him. I need him to renew my mind. I need his word to direct my steps. I need to be convicted by the Spirit so I walk away from sin. I need him to build my faith so that I'm walking by faith and not by sight. And when I'm spending time with him, I'm just bolder. And when I'm bolder, I'm making a bigger difference. When I'm making a bigger difference, my spiritual hunger grows. And I get bolder and bolder. And then you're becoming a fully devoted follower of Jesus. So in our story, these guys had been with Jesus. They heard him teach. They saw the miracles. Therefore, they were bold. The guy you crucified, God raised him from the dead. He's the one who has all the power. He's the way, he's the only way to God. And they're preaching faithfully. And the religious leaders got angry and said, hey, you can't do that. You can't do that. If you preach like that anymore, we'll arrest you. We'll beat you. We may even kill you. They threaten their lives. So if your life is threatened for your faith in Jesus, do you get bolder or do you get more timid? These guys, they prayed. And they should, because their lives were in danger. And what's crazy is to see what they prayed for. If my life was in danger, I'm probably going to pray, "Protect me, God." You know, most Christians pray, "Bless me, God. Keep me safe on my dangerous 4-mile drive to work today." But when their lives were threatened, let me show you what these disciples prayed. Oh, now, oh Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Lord, hear their threats and give us great boldness in preaching your word. Lord, hear their threats and give us great boldness, because a church that pleases God doesn't ask God to make life easier. We ask God to make us bolder. Look at their whole prayer. And I want to show you God's answer. Their whole prayer is this: "And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached the word of God with boldness. Lord, hear their threats and make us bold. Wonder what would happen in your life if every day, as part of your time with Jesus, when you open up the word and you talk to him, if you said, "Make me bold. Help me be bold at work. Help me be bold at the gym. Help me be bold in front of my family." What do you think God would do daily? You asked him to make you bold. The guys kept preaching, even though their lives were in danger, and miracles happened, and people were saved. And everything went perfectly, no problems, because they were doing the work of God, right? No. Why? Because boldness triggers spiritual opposition. That's right. The spirits opposition you. You step out in faith, the enemy pushes back. Scripture says this. The religious leaders arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. If you're paying careful attention, this is the second time they've been in prison this week. Most people today, if that happened, they'd be like, "I can't take it anymore. I'm leaving the church. Christianity's too hard. God's not with me." I mean, that's kind of the way we are. "I prayed and it got hard. Where's God?" If you're bold in your faith, get ready to be persecuted. Get ready for opposition. If you're bold in your faith in school, get ready for them to make fun of you. If you stand up for Jesus, get ready to be berated and mocked and scoffed at and cussed at. If you stand up for your faith boldly with integrity at work, you may get overlooked for a promotion. Why? Because boldness triggers opposition. I say it this way: don't worry if you're criticized or persecuted for your boldness. Worry if you're not. Because when you're truly living for Jesus, the forces of darkness push back. That boldness triggers spiritual opposition. That's the bad news. But the good news is that God honors bold faith. Watch what happens. They stand bold. They continued to pray. They, the religious leaders, arrested the apostles and put them in a public jail. Luke, now he's the doctor, he's writing this, and Luke says, "But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out." Now let's pause there. And I want you to just look at that verse for a moment. Luke barely makes a deal out of the angel. Let's look at it again. "But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out." There's not even an exclamation point. There's not like an, "Oh my gosh, the angel was like 9 feet tall, shining in white with a bronze sword, hashtag amazing." There was nothing like that. It's not like this. Like they were in trouble. They prayed and the angel, the Lord, showed up and got them out. Matter of fact, like, "Oh my gosh, this is crazy." Almost like they were expecting God to do something. Why? Because when you walk in bold obedience to God, you aren't shocked by the miraculous power of God. You're just walking by faith. Believing by faith that God's going to show up and do something. And he does. And then in verse 20, the angel tells him this. The angel says, "Go stand in the temple courts and tell the people about this new life." And at daybreak, they enter the temple courts as they've been told and begin to teach the people. Now, what did the angel tell him to do? Go do what got you arrested twice before and may get you beaten, which inspires me to be bold in my faith, because you could believe in Jesus privately and still not share his love boldly. And it raises the piercing question that I have to ask myself. Is your faith strong enough to believe in Jesus, but too timid to be bold for it? If it is, if you find yourself going, "Yeah, I'm actually on the lower end of that scale of 1 to 10, what do? Well, you spend time with Jesus. You get it. You get in his word, and you get in his presence, and you make worship a part of your life. And you let his spirit lead you and convict you and speak to you. And then when you do, you just naturally become bold. Boldness isn't a personality trait. It's a reflection of time with Jesus. And so what kind of a church pleases God? A church that pleases God is made up of people that are pleasing God. And people who are bold for Jesus are pleasing to God. And so if we're going to be a bold church, we're not going to pray for comfort and protection. We're going to pray for boldness, because a comfortable church may feel good, but a bold church makes a difference in this world. And so what are we going to do? We're going to spend time with Jesus. I'm going to spend enough time with Jesus till the fire is hot and the love is deep. And if we genuinely believe what we say, we believe we are not going to be timid. For our God did not give us this spirit of fear, but the power of love and of a sound mind.